For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Coming to you live from downtown Detroit.
Don't miss your free chance to tune into Benzinga's very own bootcamp series on November 20th. If you're looking to dive into new concepts and grow your account, this one's for you.
This is Benzinga's pre-market prep.
All right. Good morning, everybody. How are we doing? Yesterday may well have been Spencer's portfolio reports earnings day because we got Disney reporting, we got SoFi reporting. We'll talk about that. We got Affirm. We got to talk about Beyond Meat. There are so many big movers up, big movers down as I go into my movers tool and Benzinga Pro. Fossil Group, for some reason, up 35% today. We got to talk about Open Door, right? We got to talk about, we should probably hit on the big IPO from yesterday, Rivian. We'll talk about that. We will start the show by talking about Tesla. I would imagine Elon did what he said he was going to do. He sold a lot of shares this week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Those filings all hit after hours last night. We'll talk about them, what they mean, what they don't mean, and maybe what will come down the road from Elon. But first, let's bring on – oh, and also, before I bring on Joel, our two guests today, Mark Chaykin. It's been a while since we've spoken to Mark. Mark will be on the show at 8:15 today. And then Peter Tuckman, the Einstein of Wall Street, on the show at 9. But first – let's bring on Joel Elkanian and his charts. Joel, good morning. How are we doing today?
I got a new nickname for you.
Oh, gosh.
Are you ready?
Yes. No. Yes.
Chipper.
Chipper? Okay.
Yeah. Because you're always so chipper now in the morning. You're like, oh, like, yes, yes, yes. And it's like you're so excited.
Well, I'm only excited on the days when there's a lot to talk about. On the days when there's not a lot to talk about, I'm not excited.
You know what? Lately, there's been a lot to talk about.
That's why I'm always excited. Let's bring up the charts here. How are we doing?
All right, we're up 16 and a quarter handles. Buy the dip works for the 47,000th time. Up 16 and a half handles, 58.50. Pre-market high, 61.50. Let's just see. Let's see if we take out that pre-market high and get back up to the close, the two-day close at 78 and a quarter. Crude's on its heels a little bit, down 45 cents at 80.88. Gold in the green by 12:30, 18.60 and a half. Silver in the green too, 21 cents. Knocking on the door, 25. Bitcoin, the old make a new high and go down trick, that's down 6:45 at 65,430. And Ethereum futures are going the opposite way. You arbs got to get this right. Up $81.25 at 47.31 even. And let's bring in the best dressed man on Wall Street.
Look at this. I even changed my shirt. I was going to go for the three days in a row, but Spencer advised me that I shouldn't wear the Benzinga shirt for the third day in a row here. So I went blue for you, Joel.
And you know what I did last night?
What'd you do?
For the first time since February of 2020?
He went to a Michigan basketball game.
Exactly. Yep. And
did
I
they
would
win?
Say they won. They look okay.
No, they didn't look good. Come on. They didn't look good. I watched a little bit.
You don't need to look good against the Buffalo Bisons. Did you see how many players he put in there?
No, I didn't.
He rotated a lot. But right. I would say 87.5% people were wearing masks. And right. It was fun. It was fun. So, yeah, awesome. Back to first indoor sporting event. When I'm going to a concert, I don't know. But
a lot of singing going on at concerts.
Yeah.
A lot of shouting at matches, dude. And a lot of singing going on. I don't know what's worse, singing or shouting. So I'm
so
not going to any of those
talk
things
about,
yet.
Dennis, are you getting killed on anything today?
You know what? Actually, no. Which is like the first day this week that I'm not slaughtered on something. So I'm sure in the long-term portfolio, I'm slaughtered on something. There's a lot of stocks moving down 30%. I probably have one or two of them. Although I don't have the Disney, and I called that one out. So maybe we should start with
the House of Mouse. Yeah.
Yeah. I tweeted out right before, 3 minutes before. I was like, I was nervous about this report. And I was worried. You know, I've been nervous. I've been talking about it in the Disney.
Can we start with Elon? Can we start with Elon, please?
Disney?
No,
okay, go to Elon.
What's it say on the order? Right.
Joel, we didn't read. We got to look and read the right thing. It's right on the screen.
I'm getting a call from Raz right now. It says, follow the script.
We talked about and we didn't. Look, we jumped right over Elon because we talked Elon forever. I got sick of talking. We were talking in the pre-market show when we were prepping it. So I kind of thought we already talked about it, but we haven't talked about it on the air. So let's go. Elon sells. Yay.
So, yes, Monday, here's the timeline of events. Monday, Elon Musk exercised a little over 2 million stock options, sold about half of those on Monday. Tuesday and Wednesday, sold another 3.5 million shares. Those sales were worth around $3.9 billion. So, in all, he sold a little less than $5 billion worth of stock over the last 3 days. Now, some of those sales were pre-planned. It says it in the filing, and I can actually share my screen and show you.
Let's see this. Show us the pro. Show us where to get these numbers, because if you're a subscriber to Benzinga Pro, and a lot of our listeners are, show us how to do this.
So I'm on like the Benzinga Pro home screen right now. I'll go full screen here. I'm on like the Benzinga Pro home screen. This is the default screen for everybody. I went to newsfeed. You go to newsfeed. You change your sources. I've got Benzinga Wire. I'm going to uncheck that, and I'm going to check SEC. Okay,
that's all your SEC filings.
Click done. These are all your SEC filings, and then I don't care about XRTX or Lucid this morning, but I do care about Tesla. So I'll just search for Tesla here on the top there, TSLA. Oh, bada bing, bada boom.
Holy mackerel! It is a lot of sales.
That's a lot of sales. So the first one you will notice here came out at 6:24 p.m. last.
That's the
night.
One I tweeted.
Right. This was the one that showed him exercising his options. And you can see here, if you scroll down, it'll show you all the transactions. These are from Monday, right? These are all transactions from Monday. Part of that original options expiration. Exercise. Thank you. So these were pre-planned. Because it says it right there, right? Boom. Rule 10b5-1, right? Pre-planned sale. That's what that means.
And look when it was adopted. Look when it was adopted. September 14th.
Yep. Boom. Right there.
So I just, and obviously, we've got a lot of people on Twitter saying the same thing. Was he put out this poll last weekend, well after September 14th, should I sell my Tesla holdings, when he already had the plan in place to sell? So
and that's the
poll in itself was just BS, basically.
Yeah, it was for fun.
It was for fun. So he already had the plan in place. Maybe if the poll was negative, he would have pulled the plan. Maybe that's the case. But
you
the
mean
plan
negative
was
by
in
meaning
place well before that Twitter poll came out.
How many shares was that? Do we know the aggregate for Tuesday?
A little over 2 million shares.
Okay, on Tuesday, and that was on Tuesday.
No, this is Monday.
Monday.
We haven't even gotten to Tuesday or Wednesday yet.
There were 33 million traded that day. So if you got a piece for 2 million, that's a decent chunk.
It's a chunk of the volume.
That's a chunk.
So that was Monday. And then you go to all the rest of these filings. This is all Tuesday and Wednesday, right?
Okay.
And these were not planned. These were not part of the 10B1 filing. Okay. Let me get rid of that there. So again, about 3.5 million shares sold between Tuesday and Wednesday for about $3.9 billion worth of shares. And so now the question is, first off, and this is what Joel was saying, Elon, it is well within his right to do this. It's only notable because the guy literally never sells, right? He hasn't sold, I think, in like 5 years.
I told you, I watch the filings closely. I never see Musk drop a filing.
It's because he never sells.
So here, but here's the deal. So how many shares have been sold total, like in the last 3 days that we know of from the SEC filings? Do you have that number?
Over 4 million.
So 4 million shares. He owns, and you can see in his trust, he still owns 166 million shares there at the bottom, if that's the last one.
Yep.
So, and it was 171, I believe. So you're right, over 4 million shares. If he says he wanted to sell from the Twitter poll, he says, should I sell 10% of my holdings? That's not 4 million shares. That's 17 million shares.
Yep.
So there could be another 13 still to go if he is indeed going to sell 10% of the holdings. So this is not 10% of the holdings. This is about 2% of his holdings. So there could be another 10% to go. So just, you know, being careful here because the stock is ripping, thinking he's done. It's up 27 points, thinking he's done. Full disclosure, I do have a small position on Tesla. It's really minute. I should just cover it so I can freely talk about it. But because it's just a leftover odd lot, actually. Okay. I've covered my Tesla.
Wow. Is that due diligence or what?
Yeah. So you know, it was a little piece of an odd lot that I didn't even realize I still had. So I had shorted this, you know, last night after it had popped $30 because I thought this was stupid. Thought it was popping $30. It hasn't come in at all. So I don't know. Maybe it will come in. I just want to be able to talk about it. Will I reinitiate the short on Tesla? Maybe. I don't get it. I don't get why it's up 28 points. I don't get something off and do take a position on it. So I don't know what to say. I don't understand. So now I'm flat Tesla. So now I'm going to freely talk about it. I don't understand. I don't understand why it's up 28 points when he's only done 20% of the sales he was going to do. Does everybody think he's done? Is that the reason? I'm asking you guys.
Yeah.
I also don't know.
doing a simple math, Dennis, no.
If he's going to go and he said he would abide by that poll, that means he's still got about 13 million shares to sell. So that means he might be selling today. He might be selling the next day. He might be selling the next day. I mean, it's taking him 3 days to get rid of 4 million. So if he's got another
week and
13
a
million to go, he could be doing this for another week.
Yep.
So I don't totally get why we are rallying here. But it's up 27 points. I may reinitiate the short again after the show. We'll see. I don't totally understand it. But you know, when I don't understand something, maybe you shouldn't be trading it either. So yeah, it ripped and roared after the filings because everybody maybe thinks they're done. But when you do the math on this, I don't think he's done selling.
Chat says they agree with you.
I think there's more filings to come. And you know, it's popping up. Musk sales could put pressure on the stock. So I think the 27 points here is a gift, to be honest. So
I haven't had time to drill down on my levels yet, but I do have one level in mind that I'll discuss with Elon later on, moving forward. But it's a nice bounce. Got to 1120. That's your pre-market high. The volume was pretty big yesterday. Dipped under 1,000 was bought. I would, you know, if I was still on this and I was like taking the whole Elon factor out, I wouldn't want to see it go red today. I'd like, you know, 10.67.95. I'd be like, man, I sat it out those 2 days and now it's getting to bounce. I don't want to be, you know, and what about 1,100 now? I mean, you know, could that be a level like institutions that are long a zillion shares? They're not going to say, you know, they don't have to file it, but they'll say, wow, man, I missed 1,200. Maybe it'd be good to peel out of a couple million at 1,100. There's no direct level there, but, you know, if it gets to 1,110, they hit some, 1,090, it hit some. So he might not be the only one selling out there, but that close is pretty important. 10.67.
You could also do the 50% retracement of the full move, 1,243. Down to 9.
That's my number, Dennis. 11:15. That's 11:15. You already. That's the one I texted Eli.
Okay, so 11:15, and that's where we struggled here in the pre-market here as well.
Yes.
So you know, obviously, we got to 11:20. It looks like at 4 o'clock in the morning, and everybody got so excited.
Yes.
So excited. Oh, Elon Musk has done something. I better buy. Let's do the math. The math says he's not done. So the math says I don't want to be long it yet if he's not done.
We put a poll in the chat. 82% say no. We don't think
we may have slightly influenced that poll because we just said we think he's not done, and then we did a poll. But I don't think he's done. We don't know. Maybe he is done. Maybe the filings are still to come. Maybe he already sold it. You know, it's a good point. You know, so you have to up to you know, it may have sold more Tuesday and Wednesday that we haven't seen yet. but I think he's still got more to go. I don't think he's got this all done here in the matter of
why the heck not? I mean, it's such a – I mean, man, the guy built the company. He built the stock. He held on
his
whole time.
Yeah.
I think people should just, like, forget about – I mean, not forget if you're long the stock.
I don't care. I'm not saying he's doing anything wrong, although when he put out that poll and it was he had pre-planned sales already in place is kind of a little bit interesting,
it's
to
stupid.
Say the least. But
you know, kind of,
he can do what he wants. I have no problem with him selling stock. He's held the stock forever. So, sure. I have no problem with that at all. I'm just saying if he's still got 14 million shares to dump, I think the stock probably is going to, you know, maybe give up these gains. So, we'll see.
You know what I want to know is... what's he buying? What's he putting his money into?
Well, first things first is he's paying a lot of taxes.
I think taxes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Buying taxes.
Yes, he's buying taxes. And then, you know, maybe, I don't know, maybe dumping it into SpaceX. I don't know.
Okay. All right. 16 minutes. Can we move on now?
Well, we can move on with
Elon Musk for the
entire time. Now we got Mark Chaykin.
Yeah, we can move on with Mark. Oh, right, exactly.
Let's see what Mark has to say. He's been around Wall Street for 25 years more than me. He's been around for 75. So come on, what's Mark have to say?
I don't know. Let's ask him. Mark Chaykin, the founder of Chaykin Analytics and the Chaykin Power Gauge and the Chaykin Oscillator and any number of other indicators, joins our show now. Mark, good morning. How are
you?
Hello.
You don't expect me to talk about Tesla, do you?
I don't know. I don't know.
Is he done?
It doesn't matter, guys. Come on. You know, the stock has achieved, you know, critical mass. It's got liftoff, and this is all short-term chatter.
Noise. Are you a buyer of the dip?
It's all noise.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. If you believe in Tesla, you got to be. Our power gauge is bullish. You know, it's stayed bullish now for 3 months. But I've got some interesting ideas I want to talk about that are not Tesla.
Okay, let's go.
Let's go. Three stocks. Unity Software. Big swing yesterday after the earnings. Everybody's talking about the metaverse. Facebook has actually done Unity a big favor by renaming and focusing people on the metaverse. But Unity Software is a killer stock, and they announced an acquisition yesterday of the largest special effects studio in America. And they're making money in the metaverse right now. They enable 3D gaming developers to get into cross-platform distribution with advertising built in, but they're actually using augmented reality in industrial applications right now in the construction industry and the automobile industry. If you believe in the metaverse, and I do, and I think this is a very a concept that has legs going forward, I think you have to own Unity Software.
Mark, let me talk to you for a second about the metaverse here for a second, because you know you're up there, you know, with me and. You know, Lisa and I had a discussion going up to the Michigan basketball game yesterday, and we were stuck in traffic. And I said, can't you wait, you know, in a year or so, you know, maybe we won't get the season tickets. We'll just be able to sit at home in the metaverse and
a year or so, Joel.
A couple of years, whatever, and watch the game. And she got very upset with me. And she was like, no. I'm going to the games. I've been mentioning metaverse in my household for about 3 months, and everyone's been poo-pooing me. And now it is all over the place. I mean, I guess it's, you know, I mean, where do you see? I mean, there's a generational shift. This is definitely, we're moving up and out. So this is just, it's going to be a generational shift, and this is here to stay. What do you think about
that? Yeah, I agree with that 100%. And the, you know, the trend was accelerated with the lockdowns that we saw where people got comfortable not going out, although I think they are going out to concerts now, and Houston being a horrible, tragic outlier. But I don't know if I go back to the 1950s, they had 3D movies where you put on glasses, but this is serious stuff. A construction manager can walk through a building site with an engineer and with these goggles on from Unity and actually see where a duct is going to go and how that's going to affect the floor plan.
Good point.
You know, this is so, you know, I always like companies that are making money before the trend. So in the metaverse, you have, well, you have NVIDIA because, you know, the chips are key and the AI stuff is key. But I love Unity. I love the price action. And there was a wild day after the earnings were reported. The stock had traded a new all-time high, sold down 20 points in the morning, and then rallied to make a new all-time high. And that's with Cathie Wood selling a significant part of her position. So sometimes these sales don't mean anything. You know, if Elon Musk was selling his majority position and not going to be tweeting about the company anymore, then I'd be very concerned. But Elon Musk is going to continue tweeting positive things about Tesla. They're going to have a free access to capital basically forever, as long as Elon's tweeting and they keep delivering cars. So I like Unity. And then the second stock I like, this is the first time I've talked about a Bitcoin stock, is Marathon Digital.
Ooh, did not see that one coming.
Marathon,
you like Marathon up here, the miner.
I love it. I love the story. I first got into it when I was out at the Stansberry Las Vegas conference 2 weeks ago, recommended the stock at 53 to the conference. It ran up to 83, I guess, on Monday, and now it's pulled back to the 65 level. The story here is really compelling to me. They mined Bitcoin. They had 30,000 quote-unquote miners. I guess those are the computers that, you know, do the grind. And they're upping that to 133,000 miners by the second quarter of 2022. So at current prices, they have the ability to mine $2 billion worth of Bitcoin every year. And if you think Bitcoin is going up exponentially, as a lot of people do, then this is a really leveraged, interesting play and very liquid. You don't have to open a Coinbase account if you don't want to.
What happens when the mining's over? I mean, once all the Bitcoins are mined and we're at like 17 whatever million of the 21 million that are going to be in existence, what happens after that? And I, and, you know, obviously I'm not a crypto fanatic here. I'm just, you know, wonder on these miners that are all making a lot of money mining right now. And there's actually obviously competition for them too. We've had Frank Holmes on this show multiple times, who obviously has Hive Blockchain, which I own as well.
Riot Blockchain is a competitor as well.
As more and more competition comes in, like Frank and put the analogy out there, it's like a drop puck, you know, and everybody's trying to get it, you know. And I just wonder if the competition continues to get so intense, if eventually we have an issue in the long run here that there's just a lot of competition. And obviously, once the Bitcoins are all mined, isn't that like the end? Like, how does it work? I guess, you know.
Well,
so
Marathon Digital has 500 million worth of Bitcoin on their balance sheet. Some of that they bought in the marketplace. Some of that they mined this year. But let's assume that there's still 2 years left and they can mine at current prices $4 billion worth of Bitcoin. Compare it to the current market cap. But Bitcoin doubles. Now you've got $8 billion worth of Bitcoin. What are they going to do with it? Well, they can sell it. You know, they own the Bitcoin. They can sell it and invest in who knows what, NFTs, augmented reality. They're building up a pool of assets that are in demand right now with no end in sight. You could argue that Bitcoin is an inflation hedge for the younger generation.
I guess it just continues to have too. You get this halving and this halving, which makes mining continue on for the longer term.
Yeah,
right?
I think this is a really interesting play. They're doing it here in the U.S. and Montana, North Dakota, a little bit in Canada, and it's an interesting play. Very volatile stock. I think you got to buy it on the dip. I like where it's come down. Joel, do you see a support level here on the chart?
I mean, it broke out from 65. I'm looking at the chart here, and it came back down there yesterday. So I like when you have old highs, as new support. So we'll take a look at that. I guess no one's concerned about energy consumption anymore or energy usage. I guess that's no one cares.
Maybe in Wyoming, in Montana, they don't care about it.
That's what I've never really totally understood is this is green energy understanding this. I don't totally get it, but I mean, we've had Mark Yusko on the show arguing that, you know, this is green, but because they use, you know, obviously more efficient energy sources, they're not coal mining it here, but I don't know. I kind of still think this is a waste of energy in the long run, the whole Bitcoin thing. But I guess if you think it's going to replace the financial system, which I do not believe that. And I own Bitcoin, full disclosure. So, you know, I'm talking against my book here, but I've always wondered the whole energy, and Elon Musk has wondered this as well. You know, he tweeted it a year ago, you know, when Bitcoin took the dump, that, you know, he didn't know if he could get behind it because of the energy concerns. So I'm not sure how that all fits in.
I'm clearly late to the party here in Bitcoin and Ethereum, but I will tell you, I opened up a Coinbase Pro account for my granddaughters.
Oh, wow.
To try and build a college fund. And, you know, I had an alternative. I could have bought stocks, so I probably would have bought the Spider and the QQQs in equal amounts. And in 10 years, what are they going to do? Are they going to double? Whereas Bitcoin and Ethereum have the potential to go up 10x. Now, will they do it? Is there a reason they should go up 10x? I couldn't tell you that, but that's what the young people think. You know, whatever the gens are, Gen X, millennials, wherever they are, they believe in this as an alternative to a, you know, a central bank-based system. And the more you get into privacy issues, the more it becomes relevant to them. So is it a store of value? No. Is it an inflation hedge? Maybe. Is it an alternative currency? Yes. And you just have to find the safest ways to play it. But my point about opening the Coinbase Pro account, I've had online accounts, as you have, Dennis, with TradeStation and Schwab in the beginning and so forth. I pick up my iPhone and in a glance, I see what these, you know, the top five digital tradables are doing. And I see a mark to the market account with all my information. They make it so easy to trade and transfer money in from your bank and back out again, that I can see why the younger generation is getting hooked on this. They've made it easy to get in and out, whether you're an investor or a trader.
Also the 24-hour market, you know, you're not dealing with gaps, you know, I was talking to my one buddy who is real active and he's like, yeah, I never, you know, there's never gaps. It's like, boom, 11:59:59, and then boomer rolls over. That's why, you know, that's why I follow the futures. I know sometimes they're out of sync with what happens during the weekend, but at least I got an open, I got a high, I got a low, I got a close. I mean, I can't, you know, unless I can automate my Bitcoin levels at 11:59 and 59 seconds, it's tough, but it's, there's a lot of things to be said for that.
Is anybody doing good Bitcoin analytics? You know, technical analytics?
I'm sure.
That's a good question. Like Quantify Crypto does some good stuff. I know we've got their heat map on the platform. There are a few other names. I can't think of them right now. There's one that I had open for a long time, and I'm blanking on it. But
someone was using Chaikin Moneyflow early on with Bitcoin, but we're looking at it. I think, you know, if there's nothing there in terms of real value, then technical analysis has to be a big asset.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it's all technical, but I really think where you hit the nail on the head here is the inflation hedge. I think you've got money managers that see the CPI number yesterday and think, I don't want to hold cash, so I'll hold Bitcoin as a cash alternative here.
Yep.
Because at least that should hypothetically, you know, try to keep up with inflation here, because we know the Fed just keeps, you know, printing money. And, you know, we can argue, you know, Peter Schiff was wrong for a long time, but let's look at what's happening here now. We've got inflation. You know, you can look back to Peter Schiff's book from 2006, Crash Proof, and say, yeah, he was wrong for 13 years. But the pandemic has kickstarted a lot of stuff that Peter Schiff talked about in his book, where we do have inflation issues here now that don't seem to be going away anytime soon. And the younger generation and even myself see crypto as a hedge against that inflation. I think that's the real driver.
Yeah, I do. And, you know, if I had the choice between Bitcoin and Ethereum, I would opt for Ethereum just because they're transaction-based blockchain.
More practical uses.
Practical uses. But they're going to go hand in glove pretty much. The other thing, since you brought up inflation, you know, moderate inflation and low interest rates is a really bullish prescription for the stock market.
It could be.
And, you know, sure, the 10-year yield went up yesterday, but the Fed is not going to do that. If the market decides to do it, the Fed will step in at some point where they think it's gone too far. So I'm still bullish on the market overall, even though we've gotten into my 4,700, 4,800 range as of Monday, because inflation and low interest rates is an incredible prescription for, you know, there is no alternative. It's a TINA market.
Yes, it is. And that's why I stay, you know, somewhat fully invested here too. I mean, I was up to, you know, back in the summertime, I was up to 40% cash because I was nervous. Yep. But then you just start analyzing and you think, I can't be that much cash because where is money going to go? I mean, I just see it just keeps trickling into the markets and obviously into crypto as well. But it's trickling into alternative investment classes. It's trickling into everything except cash, like U.S. dollars. So
yep, I'm with you. That's exactly my scenario. Too much cash in the summer and close to fully invested now.
Mark Chaikin is the founder of Chaikin Analytics and Chaikin Money Flow and the Chaikin Power Gauge. He joins us every other Thursday to talk about the markets, and he's still bullish, is the answer, is the summary here. Mark, always a pleasure. We'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
See you in the metaverse.
No, actually, Thanksgiving is a couple of weeks. So let's reschedule.
Let's do a Thanksgiving special.
Let's not do that.
Let's not do that. Well, 8:15 in the morning.
Dennis is working. We'll Dennis is not taking a day
off. They force me to work every day.
We'll all be up roasting turkeys or whatever your alternative. It's not going to be Beyond Meat based on the earnings that came out with today.
That's a good segue. He just gave us our segue into our next talk.
No, we got to follow the script, Dennis.
Schedule
it's
another
earnings.
Day.
It's on the script. Wait, hold on.
Hold on. Real fast. It's because the chat's asking for the three stocks. It was Unity. It was Mara. And what am I forgetting?
Was there a third?
I didn't mention it. Doximity, DOCS. Oh. They also reported.
Yeah, baby, yeah.
Here's a company that's actually making money in telehealth as opposed to Teladocs, which has lost money for 19 years. And the CEO was on CNBC yesterday, and he really makes sense. This is his second appearance. He came on after the first earnings report. Now he came on again. This guy knows this business cold, and he's very non-hype, non-promotional. So one thing really got me excited about it, and I have a position in it.
Same here.
He talked about how one of their monetization paths, they put up ads from hospitals, from medical practices that encourage people to book appointments. And he said that the return on investment for the ad spend is 17x. Whereas in other venues, when they do this, they get 2 to 3x.
Wow.
That tells me that more and more of these people are going to be using the Doximity platform to drive revenue. And, you know, this is a great business model. And the one other thing that I love about this is their retention rate is up around 170%, which means that their client base, the 80% of the doctors in America who are on the platform, are using it more and more, spending more and more money on the platform. This is a very long-term stock, and it's highly volatile. It dropped from 100.
I was just going to say, don't look at it.
Don't trade it.
I never look at it. We got it, and Lisa picked this one up. She was supposed to get some shares. She told me we were supposed to get some shares in the IPO, and I'm like, Lisa, we don't have a Fidelity account. And she's like, no, I can't. And then supposedly there was 45. I said, just buy it. You know, forget about it. Yep. And that's what we did. So
I don't know the story really behind this. So this is
well, it's Facebook. It's LinkedIn and Facebook for doctors.
Okay.
But I will point out that they have a lockup that expires tomorrow.
Six
6 month lockup from the original public offering. So
All right.
And that's part of the reason the stock just sold. They sold down on a great earnings report. Yeah. It was down 20% after the earnings came out on Tuesday night. And so who knows what kind of selling pressure the lockup will generate. But, you know, any weakness in here based on that.
DOCS is the
symbol. DOCS, yeah.
Thanks a lot, Mark.
Thanks.
Be good. That's great. Mark,
you're great. Schedule a date that's not.
I'll email you.
Yeah, let's
do
it.
All right. Oh, sorry. I just cut you off. Sorry, Mark. Real fast. Wait, just to put a bow on the Bitcoin conversation, Dennis, I forgot to mention this to you yesterday, but I should have, and I will going forward. On days when we get economic data like that, you have an instrument. You have a Bitcoin instrument. You can use as a hedge. You can go to BITO, right? You can go to the Bitcoin. I don't know if you saw that yesterday, but you can go to that, right? It spiked off.
You can use that too. I keep forgetting about that one.
It spiked off.
It's going to take a while to figure that one out with the stocks.
It spiked off the number. It spiked right off the number. Yeah. Right? So,
it makes sense, but then it sold off too. So,
it's
interesting. You know, like it's tough. Bitcoin is its own animal to a certain extent. So it kind of does its own thing. And, you know, logically thinking, you think, oh, inflation's hot here. I better get in Bitcoin. I mean, that would have worked for about a hot minute. And then they pulled the rug out from under yesterday. So,
Trading. It's tricky. We skip Disney. Let's go to Disney real fast. It's the exact opposite of how things were last year. The rest of the business is recovering, and Disney Plus is not doing so hot. They reported 2 million new Disney Plus subscribers in the quarter. It was their lowest number for new subs in a quarter since the service launched in November of 2019. And it is a dramatic difference from the growth numbers that we saw during COVID, right? When we're seeing quarters of, you know, 13 to 20 million new subs in a given quarter. Now 2 million subs, new subs last quarter. We know that's kind of the only thing that investors kind of care about with regards to Disney. So even though the rest of the business is doing okay here, the slow growth Disney Plus, not what you want to see. The EPS missed, the sales did beat a little bit. And then the call was a big meandering call. They talked about so many things. They mentioned the metaverse, doing their own metaverse.
Yeah.
Not sure how that'll work, but that's the magic word of the week or the month. I don't know. It was. I didn't feel good about the report going in, and I feel vindicated here.
Well, I specifically, and I'm going to pat myself on the back on this one here because I have so many Twitter haters that say I get 100% of my calls wrong. So in this case, I absolutely hit the nail on the head on Disney. I said it on the show that I was nervous about this stock. I tweeted out 3 minutes at 3:57. I tweet out, I think the Disney Plus numbers are going to disappoint. We will find out in a few minutes. They absolutely disappointed. The stock is down 10 bucks here. So maybe I'll get one right out of 100, according to my Twitter followers, but I definitely got this one right. This was low-hanging fruit. You could just feel, like, just from watching my own kids, they don't watch it as much as they did, and they're the target audience. Even other people were tweeting back at me on that, saying, yeah, they don't watch it. The Disney Plus has a serious content issue. The CEO said it on CNBC in an interview, saying, we're going to come up with better content, with more better content. Because the content that they have is awesome, but they don't simply have enough of it. So they need more content. If they want to compete with Netflix, they're going to have to start building, you know, the non-kid stuff out there. Kids 3, 5, 7 years old still like Disney Plus, but you're not getting the Spencer Israels. You're not getting the Joel Alconins to go and unsubscribe from Netflix. And you can subscribe to both. And I do subscribe to both. I have it for my kids. But if I didn't have kids, I would not have Disney Plus. So if you don't have young kids, you're probably not subscribing to Disney Plus. The Mandalorian was awesome. They do have some more Star Wars series coming. That's going to be awesome as well. I love Disney's content. They simply don't have enough of it. And that is showing up in the numbers now.
Wow, I got so many things that I want to say on this. The first thing is, I wish I would have put a date on that upper line there, that 168 area. Just bounce, 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 right? You could have bought it how many times off that? Now you're busted through it. So now you want to get it, you know, if you're hoping to get a pop on this, I don't know, you know, it could always fill that gap at one, you know, in 174, but that 168 is going to be loaded with sellers, because that was the bottom of the range. And then you look at the monthly candle there, and this is the candle I'm referring to. You went quickly up from 150 to 160. I would get, and also you had these tops at the 150 area, I remember. That's where I would get interested in Disney, is if it came in to 150, or if I had a long-term short in the issue. Also, they were talking about the metaverse, and I don't know. I don't know how that's going to do for your theme park business.
That's what people were saying.
Yeah, yeah. And then I just wanted to go to one. And this is the last thing I'm going to say about the metaverse, okay? Is that this is the – we are in the metaverse right now, okay? We Dennis and I, along with the programmers at Benzinga, we had to create the metaverse. Because remember we first started going the show, Dennis? We could not connect with you. We went through how many different platforms? Remember that? Skype and all these different things. So the metaverse is nothing new.
Figure out pre-market prep.
Yeah, the metaverse is nothing new. I mean, this has been, I mean, this whole show, everything we do, this is really it. So it's just getting started.
This is
but
the metaverse,
we created it. We created Adam Brat. I don't know if he listens to the show anymore. We drove him absolutely crazy. Remember, Dennis?
I remember Adam Brat.
We tried how many different platforms? And we still switch every week. You still try and get us to go to what was the last one? Restream?
Look,
I mean, this is the metaverse.
Yeah, the technology we use now didn't exist back then. That's one thing.
It was on Skype for the longest time. And then Skype.
Yeah.
How did Microsoft mess Skype up? I don't understand. Remember? Skype worked for the longest time.
Skype could have been so much more. And you know, we know Microsoft, the most valuable company in the world, but you're right. They dropped the ball on Skype. You know, it is what it is. I mean, you look here, the metaverse. I think we got it. Is Disney going to be a big part of the metaverse? I think that's where we're going because we're still talking Disney.
I don't know.
I think so. I think that they can, you know, utilize this in their theme parks. I think that there's a lot of technology here. I do think Disney is going to be a big part of, you know, the experience of the metaverse. I think that the parks can be a big part of the experience. I love that storyline. I think we're early, though, on that storyline. They got to get past the Disney Plus because right now, the biggest problem with the Disney stock, and this is why, you know, I love the company Disney. I love the content they produce. I love the parks. The biggest problem they have is that they have a huge Disney Plus premium built into the stock.
Huge.
And that's getting zapped out of it to the tune of 10 points today. To the tune of maybe 10 points tomorrow. It's tough to be a buyer of this company when the Disney Plus is not performing. And it's such a big part of at least the story behind it. I know it's not a huge part of the revenues, but there is a 30, 40, 50 point premium in here for Disney Plus, and some of that is getting sucked out of it here now.
And so
would I be a buyer at 140 on Disney?
Ooh,
absolutely.
140?
Maybe
not
150.
150?
Maybe 150. Because you still got the parks, they are going to be a metaverse play. Maybe they will figure out Disney Plus. It's not going away. You know, maybe they'll come up with more content. Maybe they're going to address. I liked hearing CEO on CNBC saying we're going to come up with more content because I've been complaining about this for 6 months that they don't have enough content. So they're listening. They're listening to what people are complaining about.
That's an ugly looking monthly.
We'll find out tomorrow. Tomorrow is the Disney Plus content extravaganza.
That could be a nice pop. If you're stuck on this and you want to wiggle out at 170 or something, 171, that could be a nice pop, a nice fluff where they have great content. What great timing. They have the earnings, they talk about content, and they have this. What a dog and pony show. I mean, what timing for them to do that?
The last thing I'll say about the Disney Plus thing is they did still reaffirm their long-term Disney Plus guidance. They, even though they just missed badly on as far as numbers for last quarter, they still said, hey, by the end of 2024, we still think we could have between 230 and 260 million Disney Plus subscribers. So what they're saying is in the next 3 years, we're going to more than double is what they're saying. That's it. And now, now it's a question of does the street believe them or not?
What do they do with those parks? I mean, if you talk about a reopening trade, we're coming out of this pandemic. I mean, these parks should be picking up. They did.
But nobody cares about that, Joel. So that's just the way it is.
They just care about it.
And they are, and we are, and it is a reopening play. And there is a buying opportunity on Disney. I'm not saying shorted into oblivion. I think the easy money was made just being short into this report. And maybe you're covering today, but you are taking out critical support here too. I think it's got a date with 160. I don't know if we're going to get 150. I think I would be a buyer at 150 in the long-term account. You do have that pesky little low 160.52 back in January. I think it's got a date with that. I think we could eventually see 160.
Maybe get a little bounce there.
Maybe.
Just too much. You know, the reason that you might get a bounce. 160 is a psychological level. The reason that I don't put as much confidence in that is because of all the months that like it held 168, right? I mean, there's a lot of people that took long. You guys took some longs over 160, didn't you, Spencer? Or you didn't get in before the big pop. There's a lot of people scratching their head now, 180, 190, 195. It just was up there too long, too much volume traded. you know, for it to just bounce at 160 and go right back to 180. But we'll see. That's we'll let Mr. Market tell us. But right now, the pre-market low is 164. That's all we can base it on, 164.04. So that's your level for today. The bottom of yesterday's range, if you see that, yippee-ki-yay, man, 173.87 was the low from yesterday. I'm sure a lot of people would like to see that.
Where do you want to go?
I mean, here's I've just, you know, got a message from a friend, Paul, and he's saying the parks could go virtual parks. What do you think of the thought process of like a metaverse park?
Sure. A Disney World.
I mean, I agree, Paul. That's a great point. And he just messaged me. But I agree. I think there is a place for Disney in the metaverse. So so looking here today, I don't think I'm coming in and selling my Disney shares now. I think you're selling them ahead of the report, and I think you're finding a buy point in here because I do believe they will figure Disney Plus out. They know there's a content issue. It's nice to hear that. Maybe they're going to come up with more content. We know we got some more Star Wars series coming. We'll have some more Marvel series coming. So there's going to be, you know, they could fix that problem. And then it is a metaverse play. So I do think that the pullback today is a buying opportunity. I'm just not sure it washes itself out in one day.
Yeah. What if they come out with a metaverse gate where you can go inside Herbie the Love Bug?
You can do all of that.
Yeah.
The metaverse makes sense for Disney in the parks. It really does. So I think it is a metaverse play. I think Disney is a metaverse play. So I think it does bounce back here. And it may not take that long. So it's on my shopping list. Full disclosure, it was on my sell list yesterday. And now it's come that a lot of the Disney Plus premiums, you're just losing probably 20% of the Disney Plus premium that was in there overnight. I think there's a play in here to actually be a buyer of Disney somewhere on this pullback.
I think you had it right the first time when you said it's a metaverse play, but it's going to take a long time.
We're ahead of the story.
Yeah.
But before people are saying, whoa, Disney is a metaverse play. You don't think of it as, you know, they didn't rename their stock Meta Disney. Meta.
Walt wouldn't be too happy about that.
All right, let's move on here. Do you want to go to Beyond Meat next?
I just say one thing. Yeah. I always wanted to go to Blizzard Beach and get completely soaked and go down that big Lisa won't go down it.
You could do it in the metaverse.
I'm not going to do that. That's going to be no fun in the metaverse.
Might be.
How do you switch lanes illegally in the metaverse?
That'll be easy to do. I don't know how you get that sensation of being wet, though, in the metaverse.
Not yet.
Jumping down the slides.
We got to cover more than three stocks today. Let's go.
Oh, that's the goal. All right. Beyond Meat. We'll go there next.
Story over.
This was a tough one. I'm sorry to everyone who's in this thing. But the EPS, they missed quite badly. They lost 87 cents per share last quarter versus an estimate of a 39 cent loss. Their sales also missed $109 million. They gave sales guidance, also missed quite badly. They guided $85 to $110 million in sales for their current quarter versus $131 million estimate. And then they also said, on top of all that, we're having some supply chain problems. So,
and if you go into the store now, you see the burgers are on sale. I see the Beyond Meat burgers are on sale.
I said that months ago.
Yeah, I know. Well, months ago, you'd be making a lot of money. So there's a lot of money to be made. Just go into your store and look
eyeball
at the experience.
Test.
Eyeball test. It's still worth $6.2 billion, or at least it was yesterday. So maybe it's only worth five or whatever now. But, you know, just giving you perspective of how irrational this market can become at times. Tyson Foods, which is your biggest chicken producer, is worth $29 billion. When Beyond Meat was at the highs, it was approaching the Tyson Foods market cap, which has the entire, basically, chicken market. You know, and here you've got an alternative to that. And they're like, oh, yeah, it's going to be all Beyond Meat. Well, it's not. And you know what? It's coming to roost here now. We've had lots. And what a gift. What a gift you guys had.
Fill the gap.
Gentlemen and women alike. Back in January when we had the short squeeze from hell on this thing. And it went back up to $221 a share. And that was just unbelievable that everybody who bought this thing off the hype back in 2019, when it got $239, almost got their money back at the beginning of January 2021.
This year.
So when you get those ridiculous short squeezes, you sell. And you're going to get more short squeezes than Beyond Meat because there's short float. Well, actually, it's not even that high anymore. So it's already come down enough. I guess it's not that high anymore. But at one time, it was a higher short interest stock. It's not high anymore. So maybe you aren't getting any. Actually, no. Let me go check that. I was looking at the wrong stock. I was looking at Tyson Foods. What's Beyond Meat short interest? It's probably still high.
Yeah.
Short interest. Yeah, it's still 27%. So you're going to continue to get short squeezes in here. And those short squeezes are all sells in my opportunity. This is a stock in a clear downtrend now, all sells to be sold. I like buying dips on stocks and uptrends like Unity yesterday. Clear downtrend. You got a dip here. I don't buy dips on stocks and downtrends because they get dippier just like Peloton.
How about this dip today? Why did we, was it lower guidance or something when we went from like 105, 108 to 90? Was that lower guidance or something? Look at that, because when you mentioned the gift for shareholders, Dennis,
yeah, what was that move the other?
Was it lower guidance? I mean, I remember I told Lisa either. Like 6 months ago, I'm like, just don't buy those things anymore.
It was October 20th. It was
guidance, right?
It was guidance.
So they told you it was going to be bad.
They told you it was going to be bad, and then it's bad, you punish it anyway.
And it goes up and fills the gap.
Buying that thing up there. Who's doing that? Who bought that at 108? Why were we not looking at that and shorting the hell out of that, Joel?
I don't know.
On that gap fill. What a technical trade that was. All the resistance up at 110. They tell you it's lower guidance and comes back 10 days later because the market is just stupid at some points in time. And it fills the gap all the way up to 108. And now we're down to 77. What a gift. What a gift. Every single time this thing rallies, it's a gift in my opinion. Hate it. Next.
All right. Do you want to go to SoFi here?
Yes, Spencer.
You were in this one, aren't you?
Yeah. I'm back in.
You said you were going to buy this on a good report. You said you would have no problem buying this at 23 or 24, Spencer.
You're right. I guess I absolutely. And I'm not going to back off from that. I did say, you know, if it's a bad report and it goes to 18, I'm not going to average down. But I could average up if it's a good report. I'm not. This isn't a trade for me. Right. If it was a trade, it'd be different, but it's not. Anyway, the earnings per share was good. They beat the estimates. Sales beat the estimates as well. So they added 377,000 new members during the quarter. They gave some guidance that came in basically in line for the quarter and higher for the year. And all that comes down to a couple buck move higher.
I screwed this stock right up. I had it at 14 and change, right near the lows. I sold it at like 17 and change because I thought it was topping out at 18. It did. Came all the way back down to 15. Again, I don't rebuy it. And now I look back at 23 and thinking, why did I ever sell it at 17 and a half? So that's the problem. If you're going to sell them and scalp, get back in. Didn't get back in. Now missing the boat. SoFi, hot. Up near the highs, trying to take out the highs, but you were hanging out at the highs. So that's an important level.
Do you use the platform, Spence?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
No, I'm just curious. I don't know a ton about the company, but it seems like, you know, like the banking for what are you guys? Gen what? What are they called? They're running out of letters.
Z is the current one.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Pre-market high in this one. That comes in at 24 and a quarter. You haven't been up there in a long time. You have an old – let's see what happens. I mean, you take out that – you know what happens when stocks blast off and take out the pre-market high? You know, don't know where the heck they're going to go. Monthly high at 24 – 95 if you're looking for another target. SoFi, S-O-F-I.
All right. Where should we go to Open Door? This was going to be – this is so interesting. Because we were wondering, right? Open Door.
Closed door.
Well,
no, it's open now.
It's open now. But – What are they going to say about iBuying?
I said this.
Yeah, you did. It ended up being a really good report, right? The EPS beat, their sales beat, and they gave guidance above the estimates. And the takeaway was that what happened with Zillow...
They're on the opposite end of the trade.
Basically, yeah. This is not a instant buyer business model problem. This is a Zillow problem. They screwed up. Open Door is profiting from it. They're doing what Zillow tried to do.
Yeah.
So it was a pretty great report for Open Door. It was basically just an indictment on Zillow.
The one issue you're going to have is you have massive, epic, super duper resistance up in the 24 area, and that's where we kissed in that right after the report. You can see the big pop up right to resistance points. Use these Joel Alkonen levels; they work a lot of the times. In this case, it worked again. So you got epic, huge resistance above here. So it's hard to just come in here and be a buyer. I do like the fact that, you know, it's rallied and it's obviously getting it all back, but it's a stock that broke trend and now you're getting back above it. if it could get up above 25, it actually becomes more interesting than at 23.5 to 24.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Joel, I said it perfectly. So Joel,
Yeah, nothing.
All right, next. Let's move on to Affirm. Kind of the same.
You just got to buy those storied stocks that are loved. You, Affirm, those are the ones you buy on the dip. Man, if you're buying Affirm ahead of this report yesterday, you are raking it in, as that NAT CEO says. It's raking it in. Good job, dip buyers, in this one.
It's the same story. Earnings good and guidance raised. That's all you need to know.
Stock is just loved.
176.65. Let's see. It didn't get there. It got a little bit over 175. So $10 off the high. You might have to pick an intermediate level. But if you want to hold out for the all-time high, 166.65, just three pretty ugly looking candles here. So like your 140 calls, they were absolutely worthless yesterday. And they're now worth, you know, $25. I don't know. I don't know how you don't lock it in, but we'll see.
I'll tell you. I think both of these stocks, Affirm and Unity, I'm going to throw out the poll. Which one hits 200 first? Because I think they both become $200 stocks. Ooh. So which one? Obviously, Unity has the lead. It's 178. This one's 165 and change. I think it's going to be Unity just because it's closer there. And that candle yesterday on Unity was unbelievable. Stock down 9%. They bought the hell out of that. Then they didn't even waste any time. They could not stop buying it yesterday. I like both of these stocks.
And this is
at least from technical basis.
I got a chunk of this in like 21 and a half, 22, and had a little bit for a swing trade, and I pulled a Dennis.
Which stock?
MQ.
Okay, he moved on.
Yep. And
that's up 15% this morning.
I know, and I lost track of it, just trying to pick it up in a swing trade, and still got it in the long-term portfolio, never letting it go, but nothing today, and a little bit of regret, up four sticks.
Earnings for MQ last night as well. So,
they had earnings too?
Yes.
What a dummy. people are asking about Palantir. Are we getting the most loved stock on Wall Street? Is it a buy? This is a trading range stock, folks.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So if that's what you like to do, then pick your range and stick with it. Right now, that range is what, 22 to 27. You were just at 27.
Really?
Wait for 22.
I would say like even lower than that.
20, 21, 22.
Really?
Your buyer, if you're thinking that this is just going to be the same type of chopping up, this has been, you're exactly right, Joel, the kind of stock you want to sell premium on if you're an option writer. It's the kind of stock that you're buying, you're channeling. Remember that channelingstocks.com? You're right. 21, 20, 22, probably a buyer. 25, 26, probably a seller. The one thing I will say is that is an ugly 2 days, so it's not easy sledding back. So you're going to have epic resistance up at 24 now. From the people who bought it after day one saying, oops, I was a little bit too early. So they'll want to get their money back. So you get up in the upper 23s, you're going to find resistance. So I'd be more inclined to actually sell the rip on this one around 23.5 to 24, looking to bring it in around 21.
You know, and I don't know how much is going to affect their bottom line, but they bought a big chunk of gold. Remember that?
Did they?
Yeah.
I don't know if we know anything they do.
Yeah, we do know that. Check the pros, Spencer. Yeah, I'm not making it up.
No,
gold keeps going, Joel. The inflation rate is on. It's working. Silver,
got
too.
The gold. When did Palantir buy gold? I did not make this up.
Well, they also bought Bitcoin. Didn't they buy both? Hold on. Let's look at the pro. I don't even know.
Do we still know what they do? Do we understand what Palantir does?
Yeah, they have government contracts.
But what are they? Okay, they work for the government.
They work for the government.
That's what they.
When
that's
did good, they buy gold?
August, Joel. Joel, August 17th.
Ooh, yeah, August 17th. Right. Let's see where gold was back then. They're buying the dip in here. right? Look at that. Maybe on this day or maybe in this area. So they bought a lot of it. But yeah. Anyway, someone just mentioned, they said they saw Ride at 15. And I'm like, oh, my God, it's at 15. We're going to get Marcus back on the show.
Ride closed the deal is what happened. If you're wondering why what happened to Ride last night, they closed that deal with Foxconn for the sale of their facility.
Good.
Yeah.
Good for them.
When you're selling stuff, when you're selling stuff, it's usually a selling opportunity for the stock too. So sorry, not a fan. I'd sell the rep.
Got the 750, Dennis.
Yeah, so they've already sold the rep. Yep, I continue to sell the rep.
It is 9 o'clock, so
You got your guest. I'm gonna hop. Triple D, I'll talk to you at 10 o'clock.
If Peter, I don't see Peter right now, but I know there's a lot more tickers we didn't get to. We didn't get to OfferPad. I don't know if you in the chat mentioned that OPAD, similar to Open Door. The report was also good. Fossil is your big gainer of the day. FOSL, major inflation in watches, apparently, because Fossil just blew it away.
Sense. Money, Mitch, pick from last Monday.
I can't remember all your picks.
You gotta stick on Money Mitch.
I don't write anything
I'm
down.
I'm on fire.
Mitch with the salt. I follow Money Mitch too. You know, he won me over at Workhorse, and now I always listen. When he throws me a stock, I always take a look. Sometimes I agree, sometimes I don't agree. But when Mitch throws out a stock, I always take a look.
Yeah. Anyway, it was the EPS. I'll bring up the chart here. The EPS beat. Well, here's the news feed. EPS beat, sales beat, guidance raise. Look at Fossil, FOSL. It's your biggest gainer of the day. So like 30%, more than that. Look at
this. It's a big move. I don't chase moves, but, you know, it kind of makes sense. People are buying stuff, man. Buying watches, alternative asset classes, alternative to cash. It makes sense. I wish I would have listened to Money Mitch. The trade was 3 days ago when he gave the pick on Monday. Wish I would have listened. I'd be up 33% right now. So that's all I can say is good job, Money Mitch.
Good pick. And then go back to my movers tool. You can just see the biggest gainers, right? We had a firm. We talked about that. Biggest loser of the day besides Beyond Meat. Two big ones, Paysafe and Bumble, both moving off earnings. I'm sorry. I know there's a few people in our chat long Paysafe, PSFE. It's not gonna get better.
Doesn't look safe.
I fear they missed and then they cut their guidance. And Bumble, I didn't actually look at their report yet. Let's take a look, see real fast.
They bumbled it.
EPS down year over year. Sales barely beat their sales number. The estimate there. They gave sales guidance for the quarter. Looks like it was okay. Sales guidance for the year was okay.
Best in breed is Match. You know, so Bumble's trying, but I don't know. You're back near the all-time lows here. I always say, write this one down if you haven't written it down over the last 5 years. When a stock's making a new all-time low, you got to go, and you are very, very close to making a new all-time low in Bumble. So you could bounce here. 39 is a critical level. That's the three lows back from May, June, or back in May. We're going bang, bang, bang.
Yeah, we're right there.
Lows.
Yeah, we're right
huge
there.
Huge level. I tend to think it's going to take it out. I tend to think it's going to get ugly after that too, because then it's all pain. So we'll see. It might bounce here the first time, takes it out. If it eventually breaches it though, I absolutely don't want to own it. So 38.91 is the all-time low. I never want to own a stock making a new all-time low. It's usually a recipe for a disaster.
Usually it is. All right, Dennis, have a good rest of your day. We'll talk to you tomorrow. I hope your kids feel better. Let's bring on Peter Tuckman here, live from the trading floor in his house, a.k.a. the Einstein of Wall Street. Peter, good morning.
What's up? What's up, Benzinga Nation? How's everybody doing?
We're doing. How are you doing?
I'm okay. I'm actually not at the stock exchange. I'm in Houston visiting my family.
Oh, you're not at your house or these things. You're live from the trading floor in Houston. Excellent.
The new Houston Stock Exchange.
The new Houston Stock Exchange. All right, Peter. I have been very excitable the past couple weeks because there's been so much going on. Of all the things, of every day, there's like a dozen stocks up, 20%, a dozen stocks down 20%. Not even all of them are earnings related, which is kind of the craziest thing to me. Of all the things happening, what has your interest? What is top of mind for you right now?
You know what? I have to really address what you're talking about because I think it's really super important. You know, when we talk about day trading, people are like hopping into stocks on hype, you know, at the highs of the day with some of these stocks making major moves. And we keep begging people to realize that it's just the FOMO is a dangerous prescription for trading because, you know, I get it. People don't want to miss out on these things, but every day there's another one. Every day there are four or five of them. We're seeing moves, whether it's earnings related, whether it's Fed related, whether it's the hype and the stocks are getting memeified, you know, those moves, those volumes, the volatility is wild. So I beg everybody to be patient and really use technical analysis when it comes to these names because they're dangerous. You know, when you have a stock going up, as we, you know, I think you and I mentioned it last week, was with CAR. You know, when you see a stock go from, I think it had traded wildly before we spoke last week. When you see a stock go from 159 to 547 and then back to 260, you know, and you see a majority of the volume above the $400 or $500 range, you know that a lot of people are getting hurt in the stock and not making money. And, you know, and then we come back to it and then you see the moves on earnings. You see the PayPal, then you saw Peloton, right? You're seeing Peloton get cut in half. You saw Myrna selling off $60 two days in a row. And so some of these names, you know, I don't, we always talk about, you know, especially with David Green too, we've seen this movie before. Well, I don't really think it's clear I've ever seen a movie before where you're seeing the valuations get cut so badly. You know, stocks go up and down. Look, good news market goes up, bad news market goes up, and no news market goes up, you know, and then you're seeing earnings come out that are positive, stocks go down, earnings come out that they miss and they go up. So it's kind of confusing, right? Is it a matter of the expectations are sort of ill described, or you know, with earnings, or whether the trade is too crowded, or you've got just, have you ever seen that? You know, you watch what happened in Peloton, right? Look, Peloton was the golden child during COVID, and I get it. People are starting to go back to the gym and all that, but is it worth a valuation cut in half? You know, is it a supply chain story? You know, the exaggeration in moves on the way up and the way down are incredible.
Earlier in the show today, we were talking about Elon Musk selling his shares, and the question came up, I think in the chat, or maybe just a question we've had, but when someone like Elon Musk is selling, you know, millions of shares across a couple of days span, how is he or his broker, how are they doing that? Because you're used to being on the floor and you've seen big orders and big institutions work in and work out. How is he working out of that position? Is he just going off the VWAP?
You know, it's a really good question. You know, we've all often described when you and me, when we started talk about a little historic, historically how the market used to work. We talked one day, you and I talked about block trades. Right. The way when market makers used to make deals, we'd come in, we have 100,000 to sell or 1 million to sell. A bid was made, we would hit it, and then we would proceed to work out of a large position on whether we're getting into a stock or out of a stock. In today's world with algorithms and whatnot, I know on the floor that my handheld can really give me an option of 30 different algorithms. I can be aggressive. I can be passive. I can be a TWAP. I can be a VWAP. You know, I can be 5%, I can be 10%. So, and those, obviously, those are algorithms that every broker upstairs has access to. There are other platforms that people are able to trade through. You know, is he giving it to a broker on the floor? You know, I mean, it is a NASDAQ stock, so we don't trade Tesla. So it's not happening through the NYSE, right? But clearly a broker is doing it. He's handling it quite well. Look, we did see Tesla down 100, you know, we saw it down $110, $163 at one point, but that was actually the day before Tesla, before he had agreed he was going to sell the stock, I think, you know. So I'm not really clear. You know, he gives it to a broker. He may spread the order around.
But I guess like people, maybe not Elon, but like people like Elon, right? When you see a CEO of a company, you know, has got a 10 beat, a pre-planned sale, for example, he's got to work out of this position. I guess there's multiple ways to do it, is I guess the answer to that.
You know what? To be honest, Spencer, I would willing to bet if he was selling five million shares? $5 billion worth.
It was $5 billion worth. I forget the number.
You know what? I'm willing to bet that whoever represents him made some phone calls, got three or four people involved, and the print traded off floor. I guarantee you that's the way that was done. You know how the way the stock acts. You know the enthusiasm in the sector. You know that Rivian went public yesterday. Everybody's hot on electric cars. I would imagine three or four phone calls, and they were able to place the $5 billion worth of stock in a minute.
I was wondering if you were going to say that. So, all right.
I'm willing to bet you $1 million. That's exactly what happened.
Okay.
It was a couple of phone calls. People said, we're looking to sell a block of $5 billion worth of stock, and we get some bids. And I would imagine it was oversubscribed. I promise you. It was probably down $100, which is nothing to the stock. They surely did not want to bring $5 billion worth of stock into the marketplace because it would have spooked the whole thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's great insight there, Peter. And then I guess, is there anything else on your radar right now? Did you have a reaction to the CPI number? Do you not care about the CPI number? What else is just on your radar here as we
you know what? I'm sort of looking at whether there's going to be any follow through on the sell side. I think, what is the market up? Three handles this morning? We're on with 3.3%?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're bouncing back from yesterday's sell-off, right? And, you know, it's so funny how with the market where it is in general, you've got one or two days where the market feels a little weak, whether it's just a pullback, a consolidation, we're responding to supply chain inflation numbers and whatnot. And suddenly it's the end of the world and it's doomsday and this is the end of the bull market. We've seen it, you know, for the last 3 months, every time we had a small sell-off. And then again, we come into the market this morning and there's a bid in it, right? You and I have spoken about it a lot, that any slight discount, normally in the old days, you'd see a market sort of at this point trading at record highs, let the market come in 2-5% on some bad news before it would bounce back. Now we see barely a 1% move in the market and there's a bid in it that's pretty strong. So I feel confident. I'm not sure what will dislocate this rally, but it surely feels like the market's telling us it's nothing's going to happen too soon.
I feel like if you have to say to yourself, this is the top, that means it's not the top, right? Is that generally how it works, right?
Look at what happened in Rivian yesterday. Look at what happens. Yeah. Look at enthusiasm. Look at crypto, right? There are probably people still sitting on the sidelines who missed the boat on the market, on some of these IPOs, on crypto, and they're just jumping in now. There are people with, you know, they're the meme guys who are out there buying stock with abandon just because. You know, there are a lot of new millionaires out there trading the market these days. And so, you know, it seems, as I said, good news market goes up, bad news market goes up. It just feels like that people are just dying to get involved in something, to make an investment in their future, and the stock market's the name of the game at the moment.
All right, Peter Tuchman is also known as the Einstein of Wall Street. He also runs Wall Street Global Trading Academy, the link to which is in the description of this video under where it says his name and his Twitter handle. Peter joins us every Thursday. We appreciate it. Peter, thanks for coming on.
Pleasure, guys. Today, technical analysis rules, guys. Check it out.
Technical analysis rules. Okay, it is 9:12. Live trading with Benzinga will be starting at 9:15 today, so like 2 minutes from now, basically. So I'm going to wrap up the show here right now. Thanks to Peter. Thanks to Mark Shaken. Thanks to all of you in the chat. I know we did not cover everything. We never can, unfortunately. There's so many questions from the chat we didn't get to. The Elon Musk Tesla thing, we could talk about that for like an hour, I feel like. So many tickers we didn't get to. We didn't even get to the fact that it's Singles Day. I should probably text Dennis and Joel about that. Well, Joel knows. I don't know if Dennis knows. It's Singles Day, right? It's a national shopping holiday in China. So Alibaba in focus there. We didn't even mention that this morning or yesterday for that matter. So watching that, watching all the earnings movers, right? We covered like a half dozen of them, but there's like 100 more. So yes, stay tuned to Live Trading with Benzinga. We will cover as much of the stuff as we can. We'll take more questions from our chat and you can just watch Zunaid and Ryan and Mitch, make some YOLO trades, risk controlled YOLO trades, stocks and options. and just hang out with us through the open. And that being said, please remember all the information from our show is meant to be used as informational purposes and not for investing or trading advice. If you can, before you go, do me a solid and just like see that thumbs up on the screen. It looks just like that, right? You can just hit that little thumbs up button and then that'll be a like, and that will make me feel better about myself and my life. So please do that. I'd appreciate that. We're at 365 right now. And I'd love to get to 500 today. Thanks for the Super Chat comments. I believe Matt Miller left a couple. Matt, I'm sorry. I saw your Super Chats, and we did not have time to address them today, but I wrote them down. So we'll cover them on live trading here because I wrote down your chats as you gave them. So thank you for that. And that's it, guys. Live trading with Benzinga starting right now in like 30 seconds. And we'll just hang out through the open. Everyone, see you there.
Did you know nearly all stock price changes of 10% or more result from a single news headline? That's right. News headlines have a unique ability to drive stock prices up or down. These news catalysts create trading opportunities every day. All you need is a little help to reach out and take them. And if you're looking to grow your portfolio, it doesn't matter if your investment budget is small or big. An easy-to-read stream of news headlines will increase your opportunities to profit from price changes in the stock market, consolidate a knowledge-based investment strategy, and grow your portfolio. All you need is Benzinga Pro and its powerful news alerts, price tracking, and portfolio monitoring to make a positive change in your trading performance. We've already helped thousands of retail traders across the world, and they could not be happier. Increase your market knowledge, boost your exposure to big movers, and make informed trades before major price changes. The opportunities are all around you. Subscribe now, and we'll skyrocket your portfolio today.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.